Well, I appreciate being here with you all again. For those who maybe don't know me, my name is Marvin Moles, and my family and I, we live in Oklahoma and attend Guthrie congregation there. Very thankful to be here and thankful that we had safe travels. I know we always pray for traveling mercies, and I definitely don't want to take that for granted. The Lord looked after us and got us here safely, and I want to thank the Lord for that. I do have some thoughts on my heart this morning that I'd like to try to relay to you all. I pray that the Lord would bless me to do that, and appreciate your prayers this morning. Has anybody in here ever been hungry? Where you might feel that little tug in your stomach that tells you it's time to put something in. Have you ever had that experience of hunger? And say you're driving down the road and it's time for everybody to eat, and you say, okay, well, it's time to eat. We all agree that we're hungry, okay? I'm hungry, you're hungry, children are hungry. So what sounds good? What's appetizing? What are you hungry for? It's no question that we're hungry, but not everything's going to be appetizing to you or to me. You know, we could sit and we can talk about it and try to decipher what's going to be good. So the question today is, what are you hungry for? What's going to satisfy? Let's go to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to read starting in verse 23. So this is the children of Israel. They're in captivity. Joseph brought his family into Egypt, and they lived for many years in Egypt, faring well and increasing in number. And over time, they ended up becoming slaves to the Egyptians. And in verse 23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So what I'd like to say right now is that this is a moment in their lives where they got hungry. They had a yearning, a desire, something deep within them, so deep that they cried out for deliverance. They needed God. And they were so oppressed and burdened by the environment that they were living in Egypt. And they cried out for deliverance. And God heard their cry. They were hungry and thirsty, if you will. And God heard their cry and went about to bring a mighty deliverance into them. So let's go to Numbers chapter 11. So we know the story. Moses comes in as an instrument of God. God performs many miracles in Egypt to the point where the Egyptians were finally just asking Israel to get out. Just go ahead and go. And so God delivers Israel from Egypt. And as they're going about in the wilderness, there was times when they would say, we're hungry or we're thirsty. God, you brought us out into this desert. Did you bring us out here to kill us? Why did you bring us out here? And they started complaining and murmuring before God. But remember, back in Exodus, they cried out. They were yearning for deliverance. They were yearning to be free from Egypt. And God answered that prayer. God answered that cry, and he delivered them out. But here in Numbers chapter 11, starting in verse 4, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." Now think about that. This isn't very long after God delivers them from Egypt and rains down bread for them to eat. Bread from heaven for them to eat. A miraculous feat that God did. And now here they are complaining about this manna. All we have is this manna to eat. So here we have a hunger. They're hungering, but what are they hungering for? And so I want to parallel that to us. We have a hunger, we have a yearning within our hearts and within our lives that needs satisfaction, that needs to be filled, that needs to be some sustenance there. But what are we looking to fill that, to fill that void? What are we looking to bring about satisfaction in our hearts or in our lives? The children of Israel had bread from heaven. God was feeding them from heaven. But it got to the point where that wasn't enough anymore. Their contentment had gone away, and they desired flesh to eat. I think it's very appropriate that it says that they desired flesh to eat. Because that's ultimately what comes against us in our daily lives. A continual bombardment of the flesh. They want to offer us the flesh to eat. And what is our appetite for? Do we have an appetite for that? Or is our appetite for the manna or from the bread that comes down from heaven? What are we hungry for? What do we want to fill or to satisfy that hunger or that yearning that's going on in our lives? Let's go to Numbers 11 and 18. "And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt." Wait a second. It was well with us in Egypt? They were crying out unto God to deliver them from Egypt. But here their perspective of things has changed. And now they're saying that it was well with them in Egypt. Yeah. "Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month. Until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt?" They cried out for flesh. They desired it for themselves. They wanted the flesh to eat. I think of so many people who yearn for the flesh or yearn for the world and the things thereof. And it's a draw to them. And sometimes they lose their perspective or they lose the sight of the good things of God. and how good that manna really is. How satisfying it is. How fulfilling it is. And they go about seeking the flesh, or they go about seeking something in this life to fill a void, to fill that space within themselves. And they're crying out to God, we want the flesh to eat. And God says, okay. You want the flesh to eat? You want to have flesh? You're going to eat that flesh. But I'm telling you, you're not going to eat it today. You're not going to eat it tomorrow. You're not going to eat it just 10 days or 20 days. But you're going to get sick of it. You're going to have so much flesh in your life that you're going to get so sick of it that it's going to come out of your nostrils. And that's what the world is going to give you. The world is going to give you all that you want. Go ahead. You want the flesh? Here it is right here. Here it is over there. You can have as much as you want of this. But I'm telling you, it's not going to satisfy. It's not going to fulfill the longing that you have in your heart. All it's going to do is bring about a more appetite. You dabble in the things of the world, it brings about more appetite. It doesn't satisfy. And eventually, you think it's all good for a short period of time, but eventually you get sick of it.
Yeah.
And it starts wearing on you and affecting you, and you'll be like the children of Israel, crying out for deliverance and seeking a way to get away from the flesh.
Yes.
At least I pray that would be your desire. And that would be the longing of your heart to be free of it. Now, I don't know if anybody in here has experienced that. That point in their lives where they were just sick. They were sick of the life they were living. They were sick of the things that they were doing, and they weren't satisfying them. Their life didn't have the purpose or the meaning that they desired it to have, and they cried out to God. But I can say that I had that. I was so sick of the flesh and what it brought about in my life and the damage that it created and caused. But I didn't know how to get out of it. I didn't know how to change it myself. I didn't know how to fight it off. It was an addiction, if you will. An addiction to the flesh. But I thank God that He's a deliverer.
Yes, amen.
And He doesn't just deliver us out of it and leave us hungry, but He delivers us out of it and gives us something to eat.
Yes, amen.
Something that's sustenance, something that's going to provide for us, something that's going to fill us and enrich us spiritually. It's what we have available to us. What are we hungry for, though? What is the decision that we're going to make in saying that I'm hungry and I want God to satisfy that hunger? I'm hungry and I want the things of God to eat. Let's go to Psalms 107. Psalms 107 and 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That is a promise of God. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. If you're feeling a lack in any way, if you're feeling a hunger in any way, a short, like you're coming up short anywhere, believe me that God can fill that place. God can fill that void. He can bring about satisfaction and sustenance there. If you will cry out to Him and call out to Him and say, Lord, I need this. Fill me, Lord. He will satisfy. The Word of God tells us that He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Are you hungry? Is your soul hungry today? You know, I think at times, sometimes I talk to people and the impression that I get is they just want to show that they're all fine. They just want to show that they're good. And I think, and it's not just a thought, I really believe the Lord does it on purpose. Because you look back at the children of Israel and it says that He suffered them to hunger. Or He allowed them to. He wanted them to be hungry. So that they can draw near unto Him. So that they could call out to Him and allow Him to provide that. Allow Him to bring about that sustenance for them. That they would know what they're hungry for and ask for it. And I believe that the Lord wants us to be hungry. Even today. No matter how much you already have, no matter how much the Lord has done in your life, no matter how much He's matured you and helped you to grow spiritually, I believe the Lord has some more sustenance for you.
Yes, amen.
The Lord has something more for you. And He wants you to hunger and thirst after it. The Scripture says, hunger and thirst after righteousness and you shall be filled. I don't believe that's a one day deal. Like I hungered and thirst for righteousness last month and I'm full. No, hunger and thirst after righteousness every day. And ask the Lord to fill a void in your life. Ask the Lord to strengthen you, to mature you, to grow you spiritually. What are you hungry for? Do you have a desire for peace in your heart? A deeper measure of peace, of contentment? Do you have a longing for kindness or for gentleness? Do you want to be more gentle or more meek, more long-suffering? What are you hungry for? Or do you hunger and thirst after self-satisfaction and pride and to be lifted up and to be admired by everyone? What is the hunger that you have? Mark chapter 8. May the Lord help us to hunger and thirst after what He has for us. Because that's what's really going to satisfy. Mark 8 and 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples unto Him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. Because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. I want to think about that just for a minute. We have a multitude of people following Jesus where He goes. Why? Why are so many people following after Jesus? Because they have a longing.
Yes.
They have needs. And He's filling those needs. No man spake like this man, they said of him. And so for 3 days they followed Jesus, and I don't know, did they have nothing to eat the whole 3 days, or is it just that they ran out now? I'm not sure. But it doesn't seem like they're all that concerned about that. Because they have another hunger. They have another desire within them to get close to Jesus, to hear His words and allow Him to speak promises to their hearts and to their lives, that they can be free, that they can be delivered, that they can have the peace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. He's speaking good will to them, or good news to them. And they're satisfied. I don't know that they even were crying out to Him saying, I'm hungry, feed us. I'm not even sure if they knew they were hungry for regular food. But Jesus knew they would be. They had a hunger and thirst after God. It reminds me again of Jesus at the well speaking to the Samaritan woman. And His disciples came back and said, don't you want some food? And He says, I have food to eat that you know not of. And they were thinking among themselves, where did He get food to eat? To do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. To do God's will satisfies a hunger in our lives. A desire to be purposeful in our lives. A desire to have success, or to produce something of benefit. You want to produce something of benefit? You want to plug yourself into something? You want to give your energy and your purpose to something that's meaningful, that's going to have long-lasting results? Put yourself into God. Plug yourself into His kingdom. Let Him use your life. And watch what He can do with it. That's going to have eternal ramifications. And so they were hungry without food for 3 days because they had a desire to hear what God had to say. And His disciples answered Him, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" And He asked them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, 7. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake, and gave to His disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And so they all sat and ate, and they were all full. What comes to mind right now, just in reading that, is it says that they were all satisfied. Yes. But you know, there was some left over. There was still some to eat. And so just because we get to a point where we feel satisfied, it doesn't mean that we won't ever have to eat again. Or that we won't ever have another need to bring before God. Or something for Him to fill in our lives. He can satisfy the longing of our souls. Matthew 5 and 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so here we have a multitude that's following Jesus. And I have a suspicion that they weren't following Him for breads and loaves, and loaves and fishes. But they were following Him because of the Word of God that was coming out of His mouth. They were hungry for something in their life. And I believe it was similar to what they were hungry for back in Egypt. Deliverance. Save us, Lord. Deliver us. Free us from the oppression of the enemy. What was the scripture Brother Clifford read? I think it was at the close of Sunday school. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and an opening of the prison to them that are bound. That is what Jesus came to do. And that's what he was doing. And the multitude followed after him because of it. Because he had promises of liberty, freedom, healing. In verse 3 it says, to give unto them beauty for ashes. You know, the world, all it has is ashes to offer you. A mirage of satisfaction. You go and gobble that up and it's like sand in your mouth. No sustenance behind it. Doesn't satisfy. But what God offers us is beauty. The oil of joy for mourning. Garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That he might be glorified. The Lord can satisfy our longing souls. He has beautiful things to offer us. And may the Lord help us not to lose sight of his benefits and the blessings that he has for us. Let us not get to a point in our lives where we say, oh, all I have is this old manna to eat. I want some flesh to eat. I pray that the Lord would help us not to be drawn away by the cares of the flesh, the appetites of the flesh. They draw us away from the true satisfaction that is in Christ. Yes. Psalms 34 and 9 says, let me read it before I mess it up. 34 and 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. So there's not going to be any want to those who are following after God, who are aligning themselves with his will and placing themselves under his authority and allowing him to direct your steps. In verse 10 it says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. I look at this and what comes to mind when I think of young lions is I think of flesh eaters. Flesh eaters do lack and suffer hunger. Yeah. Those who are going out after the flesh are going to have a hunger that doesn't get satisfied. But when we place ourselves under the Lord, we will be satisfied. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing, it says. You know, that's an amazing promise. And what is so amazing to me is how so many people don't take him up on it. And how so many people get caught up with the things that don't really satisfy. And it's all with the hope that someday it's going to fulfill it all. That someday, if I just do enough, if I just get enough, if I just put enough energy into it, I'll finally get to the end and I'll be ahead and I'll be able to, like that one man said, I'm going to build big barns and I'm just going to have my ease. It's going to be finished. But it's all a mirage. It's not going to give us what we really think, what we really need in life. The only thing that will fill that void, the only thing that will bring satisfaction, is God. And the purpose of God, the kingdom of God, the spiritual life that's beyond what we can see and touch and feel, there's way more to life than what we see. And there are much higher purposes in life. If we could just plug into God and allow Him to use us. Let's go to John chapter 6. So we talked about the one multitude that followed after Jesus, and he fed them, and they were satisfied. I believe this is a separate event here in John 6 and 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took ship and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Now, let me go forward here. This was after Jesus fed the 5,000. All right, he had just fed the 5,000, and he took a ship, or this might have been when he walked on the water. But anyways, he was not there anymore, and they went about to find him. And so they went looking for Jesus. And then verse 25, it says, "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." And so, Jesus, as they were following him, he was filling them with God's word and satisfying the longings in their hearts and in their souls. He was healing their sick. He was giving deliverances all over the place. And then he fed them with the loaves and the fish. And then they went about to seek him after that. And Jesus tells them, "Labor not for the meat which perishes." He's saying, you're not following me now because of the miracles that you saw. Or maybe you're not following me for the right reasons anymore. But you're following me because you are filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. What are we hungry for? Are we hungry for the meat that's going to perish? Are we putting all of our energy and our efforts into the meat that's going to go away, or that's going to fall to the wayside, eventually be gathered up by somebody else? Or are we really plugging in to that meat which will last until eternal life? I was thinking about the prodigal son, the son that told his father, "Give me what's coming to me." And his father went ahead and did it. You know, gave him what he wanted. You know, again, you go back and they said, "We want flesh to eat." And God said, "Okay, go ahead. You can have as much as you want. But it's going to come out your nostrils." And here this young man asked his father, "Give me what's coming to me." And he's like, "Go ahead." And he went about and spent out his living and wasted it with riotous living, it says. What happened at the end of that? It says that he hungered. He had so much. But all it did was bring him back to a point of hunger. And I don't know that he was ever satisfied. He went about with riotous living, trying to fill a void, trying to satisfy a hunger that never got satisfied. At the end of it all, he was spent. He spent it all, and he was left hungry. But then he recalled, how many servants in my father's house have bread and to spare? And I suffer here with hunger. He recalled, came to himself and recalled how that those who served his father had plenty and to spare. And that is the same for us. When we serve God, we will have plenty and to spare. You may not be in overabundance of anything, but God is going to meet your needs. And He's still going to allow you to have needs. So if you think that you're going to get to a point in your life where you no longer need anything or no longer have a desire or a quest to bring before God, then you're mistaken. He wants you to hunger and thirst after Him. He wants you to desire the things that He has for you. He wants you to long for the purposes that He has for you, so that He can fill them. And we can rejoice in knowing our Savior. You know, Jesus is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. He is the bread that's going to satisfy our longing souls. May the Lord help us that we have an appetite for it. Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23, starting at verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. What I get from these scriptures is, be careful what your appetite is for. Be careful about what you're longing to eat or to satisfy your hunger. And make sure that you are not one given to appetite or one that's going to desire his dainty meats. But have a longing and a thirsting for God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. May the Lord help us to have our appetite in the right place, that we can be filled with the goodness of God and the sustenance that He has for us. I was thinking about what are we hungry for, and I was reminded of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit's delicious. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. May the Lord help us to have a longing for these things in our lives. Pray for me. I want to serve God.